KGS on KMOX. We have a guest in studio, my new best friend in the world, Lindsay Naber. She's the Senior Director of Marketing Partnerships at Rawlings. And I went out to the Rawlings Experience, told you guys about this 10 days ago or so. And Lindsay and her team gave me a private tour, which was way cooler than I even thought it would be. And I was expecting a lot because I'm a baseball glove nerd. And I'm a Rawlings nerd, especially. So is Kevin. And then allowed me to create my own custom glove, which I told her I was fantasizing she would bring me today. But I understand it takes a few weeks to do, right? So welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This is great.
And thank you. Like, when I texted you, I meant it with all my heart. No one appreciates this more than me. Aww. Like, it's just so cool.
Yeah.
You know, like, of all the cool things I've been able to do, this is right up there. Yeah. Like, it was fun.
We loved hosting you as such a baseball fanatic that you are, especially with gloves. People really geek out over that category, so we're always happy to show it off.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, you guys do bats as well. Mm-hmm. I like bats, but I'm not on eBay looking at bats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's no emotional connection so much to a piece of wood or aluminum composite material, but that glove has a special connection with its owner, and that's my favorite part of my job, just seeing people come alive when they start talking about their very first glove and their love continues.
Well, your gloves can last.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've had yours since high school.
My fielding glove I've had since I was 13 or 14. Yeah. Catcher's gloves have worn out and changed, but every catcher's glove I've ever had was more than 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Even at max use in college, bats are one a year.
Right.
Like,
sometimes
you don't have that same, like, it's not, it doesn't, you get the same feel on your hand every single day for all that time. Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought I liked floppy gloves. But then I realized that I just grew up playing with really cheap gloves and I got my first Heart of the Hide last year. And, you know, broke it in myself, which I love that process. And it's not floppy, but it's broken in. And Kev, you had told me about that. Like, no, you want it kind of in between. And here's why.
I do. Yeah. I mean, everybody gets it their own way.
But yeah.
I like the back to be basically unbroken in. I kind of want it to be because it holds the shape that way.
Yeah.
Because I want to build the right shape for my glove because my glove is a catcher's glove. I like it to look like a frog mouth. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of the shape that I want it to be. So the back needs to hold. And then the middle, the pocket, I try to break it in so it's softer so you can kind of manipulate the ball, hold it, you know, make sure it's not popping out, things like that.
Yeah. So my thoughts on the Rawlings experience, it was bigger than I thought it would be, like more expansive. Yeah. And I knew you'd have cool stuff, but it was cooler than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Like the first gloves and the one that you'll know, the Cardinal who designed kind of the
Bill
first.
Duke.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah. About maxed out my corporate card buying some of the things we didn't have on different archive sites and a little bit of eBay. But yeah, have so many artifacts that were just sitting in boxes in the office. So that was a fun process going through and having a little bit of an internal debate over what makes the timeline. Mm-hmm. And the good thing is we have so many items to choose from that we can constantly switch things in and out to keep it fresh and keep people coming back.
You know what's cool and magical about gloves? And anyone out there who played will get this. An 8-year-old feels essentially the same way about their glove as Ozzie Smith at Ozzie's age now.
Yeah.
Right? It never goes away. It's always special.
It's always personal. And I think it's because of what Kevin was saying. There's so many different choices to make it your own, whether you like it broken in, whether you want it more firm, you know, the colors now. I think the options on our custom glove builder depict just that, just how many steps you have to walk through. But it's all fun because it's truly a reflection of your style and a connection to your hand. So I think that's why we could pay our endorsers all the money in the world. But if that product doesn't hold up, the glove most specifically is hard to get them to switch because they become reliant on it. And it's such a tool for their performance.
Yeah. I've come around on the crazy gloves. Like, I think it's only a couple of years ago, Kev, I was talking to you. I was like, what the hell's going on with these kids?
Yeah.
This is stupid. A glove should look like a glove. And then the more like I watch the kids play with them and see how much joy it brings them, who cares?
Right.
Like, who cares?
That's right. It's funny. I used to, I hope my dad's listening and won't be mad, but I used to say, if my dad would hate this glove, I know it's going to be popular with younger kids.
Because well, that's what kids want. They want what their parents don't like.
That's right. And he's such a traditionalist. And that's what's funny with Mason Wynn. He actually, you know, he has a lot of flash to his style and game, but he has a somewhat traditional looking glove.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get the ones, the Rev 1X that Francisco Lindor designed. It's a a different material on the back, and it has the leather palm, but so many crazy sublimated designs that we're able to do with that. But we put, instead of the embroidered patch that goes on all of our gloves, we just did the silhouette of the patch because we almost wanted people to detach the tradition that they associate with our brand into this one series. We wanted them to just suspend everything they knew about Rawlings being, you know, old school or traditional, and allow for this new scientific glove design to come out. So had a little bit of an internal argument over that, what logo we were going to go with, but I liked coming at a new demographic with something different that would change people's minds a little bit.
So who works with the pros? Do you get to do that?
Sometimes, yeah. And I always have to pinch myself because as a baseball fan, and I try not to show any preference to the Cardinals players, but inevitably I'm sure I do. But my boss, Mike Thompson, he's an industry vet, been with Rawlings 40 years, and he leads our pro department. And honestly, I think, you know, people come, our pros keep coming back because of the quality, but it's also, we're not a big, you know, crazy large company. We have the same people that have been there a while, and they can talk to someone. And our pro rep, Stevie Cohen, he just has such a rapport with the players. And again, they've been doing it for years. So these people are their friends. And, you know, we have that hopefully friendly Midwestern vibe about us and just treat everyone like people. But it's hard not to pinch yourself when you're surrounded by like a Brooks Robinson or, you know, a Derek Jeter. It's just, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I didn't know. Well, first of all, I learned in the last segment that most people don't open their cereal bags in the middle like I did last night and it exploded. 61 years, I didn't know that. Like, you could do it on the corner. I also didn't realize, being such a baseball fanatic as I am and a St. Louis kid, that Rawlings is a St. Louis, always has been.
I know. And since 1887, we were downtown sporting goods store. I like to joke when I give tours that we sold wagon covers, parlor games, ice skates, even brass knuckles, which the kids didn't know what that was. I was like, good, keep it that way. But yeah, we've been here our entire existence. And I think that's really what we were trying to do with the Rawlings experience is, you know, stake our claim in the ground. And we did that with a 30-foot gold glove on our rooftop.
Yeah. Tell me about that. You in on the...
I was. Yeah, there was a small group of us. And probably, I joke, it took a collective few years off our lives. But it's a feat of modern engineering, I swear. And
when they're lifting that thing up there, you're like, please, God.
Well, it's a funny story because we had a truck come in. They had to build a truck large enough to haul it to the front. And it was supposed to be done in the morning. And I'm an adjunct at a local university. So I was like, I hope it gets done. I have to go to class. So that day in class, hopefully my students are listening, we did a live stream where we were watching it. And I was like, guys, I can't teach today. We have to watch this. And it was swinging. And I'm like, please go okay and according to plan. And thankfully it did.
What do you teach?
I teach sports marketing.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Very cool. The Rawlings Sport Business Management program at Maryville. And, you know, those programs didn't exist when I was back in school. And I joke, I went the journalism route at Mizzou and I loved it. But now I write slang copy for like 12-year-olds. So not using it as much.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. How was J school at Mizzou?
Hard. You know, the only thing I didn't love about it is our classes were rather large because so many people go to that program because it's so renowned. But I, you know, one of the first in my family to go to college. So I felt the pressure to do well. And so I loved it. And I'm very proud of that degree. And whether or not I use it as much as I need to, I did take a lot of business classes and I went the advertising route. So I could say I'm using that in what I do in marketing.
Yeah, I was one of the first in my family to go to college. I did not feel pressure to do well. So
mine said they want to help out with tuition. So that's a different kind of pressure.
Yeah. My tuition, this will punctuate how old I am, was $500 a semester in undergrad. At SIU. And I was on scholarship for sports, which was basically like, you know, I have that much in my pocket right now. It's like, okay, well, thanks.
Times have changed.
Let's walk through the, first let me do like a little ad for you. Yeah. The custom glove thing. Get it for a kid if you want. If you want to spend the money, absolutely, get it for the kid. Get it for your dad. Yeah. Even if your dad doesn't play baseball anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Because, like your dad, it'll mean something. Mm-hmm. You can put their name, their number, their favorite college, a flag of a country. Like, what a great gift.
Yeah.
Just make sure you know what style he wants.
Right? Don't get it wrong.
If
don't
you're
guess.
14, don't get him a 14-year-old glove.
Take, right, right. Yeah, take him with you.
That's gift what I'm card. Saying. Right, right.
Gift yeah. card to right. design it. But yeah, there's something for everyone. And truly, that process of going through the options is so fun. And, you know, my dad sits and watches games with a different glove every night. You know, he's amassed quite the collection. But, you know, he still goes back to the classic Heart of the Hides. I can't see him in a crazy-looking Rev 1X. But, yeah, it never gets old. And it's, you know, the quality and authenticity that's associated with our brand that makes it extra special.
Yeah. Do you have the bulk of the MLB, right?
Yeah, well over 50%. I can promise you it's not because we're giving them the biggest paycheck. Some guys we just give gloves to as yeah. part of their deal. And we're able to, what's a really cool fact a lot of people don't know, the Gold Glove Award awarded to the best defensive athletes that we do not choose the winner, no matter how many complaints that come our way. The coaches and managers of each league, with the exception they can't vote for anyone on their own team. If they're a Rawlings endorser and they win a Gold Glove, they get the gold patch, which is the biggest flex that you can make as a defender in Major League Baseball. So we've been able to get athletes that aren't signed to Rawlings that want that gold patch to come over to our brand. Mm. And that's really special because they really want to wear that. And even better is the Platinum Award, which is fan voted. So, yeah, those are great things when that means something to them.
Yeah.
And they wear it as a literal and figurative badge of honor.
Who's in the laboratory as we speak coming up with the next generation of gloves?
Yeah, we have a really small but mighty team of glove engineers. And it's funny, one of them, Newman, we call him Newman just like Seinfeld, but and Josh, they are just super creative and they're always coming up with crazy designs. Some stick, some don't. But I will say we do so much research with players throughout the year, all ages, all you know, abilities. And I think that harkens back to working with Bill Doak. That was really the first example of
that's
us
like 1919,
listening.
Right?
1919. And you know, giving us feedback and us going to make it. So we haven't really changed from that model. We get a lot of our trends from Major League Baseball at spring training, what colors are hot, what materials they're looking at. And then we also borrow from the footwear and apparel industry as well. What trends are coming up there? Gloves right now, they were having a moment where all of them were neon colored and almost the uglier the better in terms of all the designs. But now we're seeing it go back to some of the more traditional tans, camels, blacks with a pop of color with hot pink laces or a neon green web. So it's just interesting to see what works with certain audiences and what doesn't. But we have something for everyone.
Yeah. Rach, any questions?
Well, I just wanted to ask Lindsay, like, you know, not everyone who pops in is going to walk out with a glove like Dave. Like, what is there for people who are, maybe they're just down at Westport, they see Rawlings and they're like, all right, I'll go in and check it out.
Yeah, and that's what, it's so funny when people ask me, like, what's the demographic for the experience? And I'm like, everyone. You don't even have to like baseball, I think, and there's a history buff would love it there. Yeah, I think there's, hey, if you want to get exercise, go in our batting cages and, you know, try out some of our bats. We have the Gold Glove Vault, which is dedicated to those that have won 10 or more gold gloves. So that's more of the museum type experience there. Mm-hmm. We have apparel, headwear. Everything, you know, that a baseball or fast pitch athlete could possibly want. And also the fans, you know, just wearing a cool t-shirt to a Cardinals game. Mm-hmm. And the great thing is we're always adding to it because we're not necessarily retailers by trade. So still figuring things out, you know, on my to-do list is how do we make this field trip friendly or have corporate events? So that's something we're working on now. But the sky's the limit with it, and we want people to keep coming back. And I think the best part, in line with a lot of the St. Louis attractions, it's free. You know, we don't charge for a tour, we don't charge for admission or to use our batting cages. We want to make that accessible for all the people that come through St. Louis and the folks that live in St. Louis as well.
So you guys have hundreds of gloves on the wall. Mm-hmm. That you can interact with, put them on your hand, see what they feel like. Can you buy those?
Yeah. Okay. And so it's funny. I know we were having some internal discussions when we were setting it up, but we went with like a minimal wall. We didn't put a lot of ad copy because that is the goal, to get people to try it on and go play catch, you know, try it out. you know, pound it a few times in your hand. Because as Kevin stated, it's all about feel. We can't articulate necessarily the greatest features and benefits to it, but you have to try it out and just see what that feels like. And that's like that intangible piece.
Yeah, I've tried on several really expensive gloves, and you're like, not for me.
Right. No, same.
Not for me.
Same. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for the glove. Thanks for the visit. Yeah. So the next time you are in need of something cool to do, or you find yourself at Westport, which is lovely just by itself, stop by the Rawlings Experience, say hi to Lindsay, and yeah, really, really cool stuff. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yes, 225. I love doing segments like that.
That was interesting.
Yeah, just a little something you don't know about, you know, very cool.
And she's a great ambassador, too.
She's great, isn't she?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I thought of something last night I hadn't thought of in a really long time, but it's a really sweet story, apropos of nothing. But when we first got Augie, we sent him to a trainer who was doing lives with me. Like every day, like Monday through Friday. And he went for like 6 months. And the guy that drove the van listened to the DGS. And in the evening, when he would be driving Augie home, Augie would recognize my voice and like cry and whimper. Oh. Like, that's dad.
Yep.
Isn't that cool?
I know that's that guy. Sweet.
That's what he was saying. He's like, I know him.
Yeah. Dogs are so awesome.
Dude, it's crazy the things that they can figure out.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them don't figure out anything, right? Like, no, I'm serious. Like, some of them, they like audio and video things, they doesn't register to them. Others, they see and hear everything, and they can pick up the details.
I'm thankful to have them for 12 or 15 years, but can you imagine if we had them like 30 or 40?
Oh, my God.
You know?
I mean, it'd be great.
It'd
be great.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, it's not that way.
Although losing them would be that much harder.
Well, it would be, but I mean, it's bad now as it is.
And look, I've said many times, like, no one loves dogs more than me. But the reason we love them so much is because they can't speak.
I wish they could, dude. It would be great.
Right, Andrew? If they were talking to you, you'd be like, oh, you're kind of annoying.
I don't wish my cat could talk.
Oh, I do. I wish all animals could talk. That'd be the best.
I mean, she does talk. She...
Rachel, did you do a Reels today?
Yeah, we did a little clip of Andrew drinking his green juice yesterday.
Yeller.
All of our reels are just all of us jumping on another person for doing something slightly out of line.
Yeah, Rach pointed out, most of this show is just us busting on one another.
That's what friends are for.
We all get our turn. Andrew gets extra turns.
They made a song about that back in the day. That's what friends are for.
That was pretty funny, though.
Yeah. It was.
It's just so funny that we noticed it, like, at the same time.
Well, because he was taking the world's, like, slow. It was just,
it was bizarre.
It was just out of the use.
But it's also right
Andrew.
In our face on the stream, too. Like, you're looking at the camera, and you see it, like, right there.
I knew exactly what you meant when you said it, too. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Savoring that sip.
He's like, this is like, it's a good vintage.
It was me trying to figure out, like, should I still drink? Yeah, I'm going to drink.
That's funny. You know I'm done. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Time to talk to our pal, Ricky Horton. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Dave. How are you? What's going on?
Great, buddy. So I'm going to start the segment today with a couple of Dave questions, but they're about the Cardinals broadcast. So when I listen to you guys and John will say, Ricky has the seventh when we come back, like, what does that mean? Like, do you really kind of go like, okay, I'm going to take the third and do the play-by-play. I'm going to take the seventh, do the play-by-play and kind of switch off?
Yes, that we do. And we've been doing that. That's kind of the way it's always been, I think. I'm sure that that's the way it was with Mike Shannon and John also, and even back to Jack and Mike and really anybody that's done it. There's a prescribed innings that you do. So my innings for play-by-play are the third and the fourth and the seventh, and John has the rest. And then once we get to extra innings, we alternate. And, you know, alternating in extra innings used to be a big deal because sometimes it'd be 13, 14, 15 inning games, but typically they get decided in an inning or two. So, but that is prescribed.
And people would be shocked listening to the show to know how much work goes into this silliness. And I'm curious, like, what is your prep like to do a broadcast?
Yeah, so it's probably, I'm actually sitting here doing it right now, so it's a very appropriate, pertinent question you're asking. So I just have their media guide, our media guide, and it's what is it? It's 3:30 Eastern time right now, so the game's not for another 3.5 hours, but I've already met with Ollie, and I will be going through a couple of hours worth of getting my lineup card ready. John does the same thing. You know, we'll talk to the other team's broadcasters. So there's 2 or 3 hours worth of really kind of diving into it. But it's not just that. We've got scorebooks and information in front of us that can take us back to, you know, other series and other games and what happened. And there's some review of that as well. We'll get stat packs. We'll get lineups. We'll get notes. We get all kinds of info. And you just try to cull it down the best you can and get ready for a broadcast.
So, you know, you're my boy. I love you like a brother. And you guys are a great team. I just want to say something about Rooney. Rooney, he has to be low-key one of the best who's ever done it.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And you're not saying it because I'm sitting right next to him right now, but and so I'm going to have to say it so he can hear it. But here's what John does, and here's what John's just awesome at doing, and known John a long time, and we talk about that all the time. He paints the picture. So people say this to me all the time. They'll say, you know, when I'm listening to the radio broadcast, and they're talking about John, they're not saying that about me, but when I'm listening to the radio broadcast, I feel like I see things. Because of the words that are being used, I understand kind of where you are in space and time and all that. And so they love the way he paints the picture. And it is pretty spectacular. There's a lot of adjectives in that. There's a lot of kind of thought to describing what you see. And, you know, I think some people would think that that would be easy, but it's not. I mean, you see it, so you assume everybody else sees it. But, yeah, you know, that doesn't work on radio, obviously. So John's just an expert at that.
Well, tell him I said that because I'm desperately needy for people to like me. So
I will. I'll pass it along, and I'm sure John will give the thumbs up to liking you back, Dave.
So one of you two, maybe both of you, but I feel like one of you two, you and Wheels, are not fans of the All-Star game. Am I right?
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not either.
That's good. We're in the same club.
I used to be, but obviously, yeah, you know, that was a different time when you didn't see everybody all year long like you do now. I do like the Home Run Derby, but I can only take so much of it because it goes too long.
Yeah. My objection to, and I'm not a big Home Run Derby, I did get a chance to work with John, the Home Run Derby that was in St. Louis when St. Louis had the All-Star game, and I was interested in that. That was kind of cool to be there, but in terms of, you know, celebrating that one particular part of baseball, Home Run Derby, it's just, if I feel like that's almost been kind of a bad direction for the game in my mind, to kind of make it so power hungry. So that's why I don't like the Home Run Derby part. And, you know, like, I don't like slam dunk in basketball for the same reason. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love basketball, I love baseball, but I don't like the kind of the extraneous kind of contests around it. But the reason the All-Star game has lost its luster for me is, you know, American League and National League has lost its luster for me.
Yeah,
there is no American and National. They're just people in different divisions, but it's not the way it used to be. It used to be, man, I'm going to watch Willie Mays,
yeah,
up against, you know, the Yankee stars. You know, I mean, it was a big deal to see your National League's best up against the American League's best. Right now, you know, it's Steve Boris's best up against this other agency's best and whatever team you happen to be on at the moment. I mean, it just doesn't have that same kind of appeal to me.
I would love to see it. And I understand baseball is very traditional, and I don't think this is going to happen. But think about the excitement level if we treated the All-Star game maybe every 4 years like you do the World Baseball Classic, where it's, you know, you split them up by countries or regions of the world,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Just because, and I'm not saying, look, I get it. Tradition is big thing for baseball, but that would bring some of that element that you're talking about, Ricky, which would be special,
yeah,
for the players to compete. But I don't know how you do that on, like, one day. That's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Practically stuff, there's a lot of practicalities,
right,
to that in the,
right,
midst of a season to figure out. And that, and yeah, I don't think that's a bad concept if you can ever figure out how to work it out. But I'm still, you know, I'm not, again, you don't always have to go backwards. But I think in the sense of where the game is right now, I wouldn't mind if we went backwards to just playing a division a year in the American League. And I think maybe you can get back the rivalry of the Dodgers and the Giants and the Red Sox and the Yankees and the Cardinals and the Cubs and whoever else, because you're playing them more, which I think would be good. You can get familiarity, which often breeds, you know, tensions and all that stuff, which would also be good, I think, for people who follow baseball. But it's just too... It's too kind of spread out right now. When Jordan Walker has 45 big league home runs against 45 different pitchers, That's a problem.
Wow.
I mean, that there's nobody that you say, well, he really owns that guy or that guy owns him. He, you know, he's 1-for-3 against people. I mean, that doesn't, there's no kind of storyline to go with that. I think, you know, Kyle Hendricks pitching all those games against the Cardinals and beating him time after time. Well, you don't really get a chance to do that anymore because you don't play each other often enough.
You're so right. When I was a kid and I got to see Rod Carew, you know, you're holy hell.
Yeah, that's right. And I think the reason they started it is they wanted people to see Ichiro and they wanted people to see Griffey, you know, National League fans. Well, you know, the way baseball spread out now and continuing to evolve, you're going to have more expansion teams at some point, and you're not going to be that far away from being able to watch whatever player you want to watch. And, you know, if you're in St. Louis, you can go to Kansas City and watch any American League game you want. Chicago, you can watch them both. New York, West Coast. I mean, I just think it's a little easier to do that now.
Yeah, so, I think that's a big part, Ricky, too, of why offense is what it is. I mean, I think Ted Williams used to go through a whole season and face like 80 pitchers, and now it's like 280 different pitchers that these guys are facing.
Yeah, and I've advocated that too, Kevin. I've said if you want pitchers to start making a comeback and hitters to kind of have to figure out a different way, then you want pitchers and hitters to be on equal footing. Let's put it that way. That then you're going to have them face each other more often, and that the only way to do that is to get rid of the interleague play part. I think it's just too hard to hit right now, and that's why there's so many strikeouts. If you want to cut down on strikeouts, get rid of interleague play. Well, and I don't think they're going to do that, but I would consider it.
It's that and the way bullpens are used too, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you're not seeing a starter for 7 or 8 innings. You're seeing them for 4 or 5 in a lot of cases. And like Ted Williams, 1941, the last time a guy hit 400, he faced 74 pitchers.
Yeah.
And now you're more likely to face something close to 250 or 300.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're facing guys now where you wonder why. You watch when you're at the ballpark, when you watch Brant Brown stand in front of the dugout when a new pitcher comes into the game, and you have five people standing around him talking, and they're going through stats about the guy, and you think, well, why does he have to do that? Well, he has to do that because they haven't seen that guy very often. I mean, it's just, you know, the Cardinals would never have that meeting in front of the dugout for how to hit Lee Smith because we would have seen him enough with the Cubs that you don't need a meeting. You just know the dude throws hard and you better get lucky. I mean, that's just kind of how it is. But now there really is a lot of teaching that has to go on.
Guys, how important is it for the club to be at the record they are now or better after the All-Star game, or, you know, by the time the All-Star game comes around?
Well, I mean, it is the halfway point. We were actually in the second half of the season starting today, which is interesting. So, you know, the All-Star game always ends up being that delineation because we say, you know, there's pre-All-Star break and post-All-Star break. Well, in my mind, you've competed the first half of the season, and as of game number 81, the Cardinals were the third wild card, a playoff team. Now, I understand that doesn't amount to anything, doesn't give you anything, but it shows you that you've made progress beyond what you thought you would do. So if you can kind of tread water that way and just keep doing that, and you know, some teams are going to get hotter, and you realize that some team's going to run off a whole bunch of wins and be tough to chase. And I think the Cardinals are going to be true to form in terms of their development. That's what they promised they would do. But you know, just I think it'd be wonderful for Cardinal baseball if they could have the same second half they had in the first half.
Yeah, I'm not as focused about what it'll look like after the coming out of the break as much as I am, you know, like about 4 weeks after that.
that's right.
When we get up to the trade deadline, because that's when you got to choose a path, and you've got three choices. You can stay the course, you can add, or you can subtract, and that's going to be determined by the next 5 weeks.
So you're talking about late July, and when we get to late July, the haves are going to have more haves, and the knots are going to have more knots. So you're going to have to figure out kind of which one you are. And now there's always a case where you try to do the stand still model, or maybe just try to do a little bit of a adding and subtracting. And I think the Cardinals might do that. But regardless of which way you go, it's definitely crossroad moment there in late July.
You know, it's a great problem to have, because I hear people calling into you, Kev, like on Rush Hour, like, where's Rodriguez and where's Baez and where's this? What a great problem to have that we haven't had for a while.
Well, that can play into what you just said, Ricky. I mean, like as an example, if you're a month down the road and you've got a quality offer for someone like Lars Nootbaar, and Baez is Baez, well, you've got a ready replacement, so you might be taking a player off, but you have an obvious answer for it, and you might get something else that you're a little shorter on.
Yeah, I don't think there's an answer. Now, maybe I'm wrong about it. I don't think there's an answer right now in AAA where you go, well, you know, we're just, if you just have a chance, he'll come up and hit 50 home runs, or he'll come up and win 10 games in the second. I don't think there's that guy yet at
right.
this moment.
Right.
But there are guys that certainly could get experience at the big league level. And so if you're saying, boy, we're going to be demonstratively better if we get Baez here, I don't know if Baez will be much different than Lars Nootbaar would be. I don't know. Maybe he would. A good, bad, or indifferent, whatever you think about that. But, I mean, the point is it's unproven. And when you bring up a guy
right,
that's hitting
right.
270 in AAA, what does 270 in AAA mean in the big leagues? I mean, we know that it's a very different league in the big leagues. And it's you're not going to get those same – you can't just transpose those numbers into the big leagues. You just can't do it.
Rick, for once, you have to be kind of happy not to be playing in St. Louis this week.
Oh, my – well, you know what it is here? It's 107.
I was going to say Atlanta's hot. Yeah.
This, you know, they call this Hotlanta, you know, Dave. So, and it, so yeah, no, I actually played golf yesterday, and I'm still alive, so I'm happy.
Nice.
All right, don't tell Rooney I said that stupid thing.
I already told him, sorry. Too late. Rick. How can you laugh when you know I'm down? How can you laugh when –
We should play this in the band. You think enough people know it?
I don't know this song, but I'm enjoying it.
You don't know Big Country?
No.
By Big Country?
I guess not.
About the Big Country? Jam it for a second. Turn it up.
Which country?
Ha! Better be the United States. July 4th's coming up, baby.
I believe they're Scottish.
I know, that's right. Ew.
Get out of here.
Do you know this one, Kev?
I know it.
And you hate it?
Yeah.
You don't know this song.
It
There's
was a huge
no way.
Song in the 80s.
Was it?
Yes.
It was a huge cool song for cool people.
Yeah. It was huge in the
Kevin,
80s.
Kevin, is that true?
Was it around the same time as like the band Asia was really big? Because they have a similar sound.
Another great band?
They have a little similar sound.
Oh, they sound nothing like
There's
Asia.
There's a similarity.
My God.
They all sound
this
like
this is like me talking baseball.
They all sound like the 80s.
You
That's
sound,
what they
like
sound
the
like.
80s.
Thank you.
Your butt sounds like the 80s.
What's Asia's big hit?
So is Asia heat of the moment?
That's right.
So yeah. Is Asia not cool?
I think they're real cool.
But when he compared Big Country to Asia, it seemed like he got a little offended.
No, because they're very different.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't.
They're both pop rock bands from the 80s, but.
Yeah. I thought they were kind of. I thought they sounded kind of similar.
You're trying to cause trouble, aren't you?
I thought they sounded. I thought they sounded kind of similar.
He's trying to start crap.
You're trying to play the Dave part. This part's taken. Provocateur is taken. Judge in Alaska ruled that a rando named Dan Sullivan can run against sitting Senator Dan Sullivan in the Republican primary.
Why not?
Why not?
There's no rule that says you can't have the same name.
Eddie Murphy made a movie called Distinguished Gentleman.
How great was that?
About that. It's International Asteroid Day and Meteor Day. What is a coincidence?
Yeah.
How did they get both on the same day?
I don't know. Let's know somebody.
Man, that kind of seems like whenever your birthday is on Christmas, it's like, dude, yeah. Asteroids and meteors, we got to share. This is so stupid.
Which one do you think is mad about it, the asteroids or the meteorites?
Probably the asteroids.
If I crash landed on Earth and then I was like, so when's my day? And they were like, oh,
share with a meteor.
You got to share with that clown. And be like, what the heck?
We need to Google this one. My show prep says, have you ever ordered a fish fillet Norwegian style? And then it didn't tell me what it was.
What? Yeah, what's Norwegian style?
Wait, it just stopped there?
Yes. Yes, it did.
It's pranking you.
It said nothing else after that.
It sounds like schizophrenia, Dave.
Let's see. I don't see anything. Okay, here it is.
So it's pan-fried with butter and a crispy skin.
What?
That's what it
says. In Norway and Sweden, you can order a fish McFeast. Which is a Filet-O-Fish patty on a sesame bun with tomatoes, lettuce, onions, and then the story cuts off because I have to click on the link.
We're really having trouble there.
So, no, I haven't been to Norway, so no, I have not ordered it Norwegian stuff. If you go to the McDonald's on Tucker Boulevard in St. Louis and you say, give me the Norwegian filet of fish, I don't think it's going
to
well.
You're getting a baseball bat to the shins is what you're getting. You asked for that there.
I don't know why it's got a fancy name. It's just pan-seared fish with the skin still on it and then butter and lemon. Like, okay, that's fish.
can I have it Norwegian style?
I bet you if you asked that at a restaurant, they'd be like, what are you talking
about?
The
Fish McFeast also, so it has tomato, iceberg lettuce, pickled cucumber, and onions. And then instead of tartar sauce, it has ketchup, mustard, and something called Fish McFeast sauce.
No.
Man, that's awful.
We don't have this stuff.
I don't want ketchup and mustard on it. That sounds bad.
Jacob says, if Kevin goes after Phil Collins or Genesis, I'm driving down there.
Good luck, buddy. Bring some friends.
Oh! Now we're just openly threatening listeners.
No, he's threatening me over my opinions on music.
If any chatter dares to step to Kevin, I'm backing up Kevin. I got his back.
Yeah.
Depending on how big Jacob is, I may join him. If he's small, I'm on your side.
Yeah, I didn't say I'd stay behind Kevin. I just mean, yeah, I'll start there. Well, hold on now. Let's hear both sides.
I'll like look around and go, guys, guys.
You guys fan of the Jason Segel movie, Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
I like it too. And I love his Dracula play.
Yeah.
I think it's very, very funny.
Very silly.
He's making that into a movie. He's making that Dracula play into a live-action movie.
With puppets?
I'm guessing. It's a great question, though.
Sure.
I would hope it's with the puppets. That sounds fun. I like the music that he wrote for it.
I'm losing my whimsy. It sounded stupid to me.
You think it sounds stupid?
I mean, yeah.
I mean, there's no reason it wouldn't be funny. Like, I mean, it'd be like any other... You know what I mean? I think the reason that you don't like it is because it's from the other movie. I think if he just said, hey, I'm going to make this funny Dracula musical or whatever.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe then you'd be more into
it. That's true. I'm a big fan of just leave it alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, big fan of leave it alone.